Would you, if you have your Bible, would you join me in Luke chapter 21 this morning as we begin Luke chapter 21? I thank God. I feel like we've had church already for I hope you sense the moving of God's Spirit there, certainly in your home. And again, just thank God for His Word. Thank God for His Spirit and His many blessings today. And just as you are turning there to Luke chapter 21, I want to thank some others here. I want to take a moment and thank all of you who minister to our children and to our youth. And I just thank God for you. I thank God for your heart, your willingness. You are a blessing to this church family. And every one of you parents and grandparents who make the effort to bring your sons, daughters, grandchildren, who just are encouragement, I just thank God. May God minister and bless you. In fact, if you're watching, I'd love, email me or call. Is any ideas that we could maybe incorporate something into one of the online times where we gather together here to be a blessing to the children or youth? I certainly don't want to overlook them. I thank God for all of you who serve, though, and minister to the young of this flock. And certainly thank God for you. If you're not tuning in right now to the website, I want to give you the website real quick. It's just CLM, the initials of the church, and the word family, CLMFAMILY.org. And you can check out the various resources. And I just thank God that people are giving. Some mail it here to the physical location, some give online. But I thank God for your heart. And I just opened this mail that came after I left yesterday. It's one of the ministries we support called New Life Outreach. They minister to those who are hurting and broken and basically seeking God for victory over substance abuse and those type of life-controlling issues and addiction. And a handwritten note says, Calvary's Love Ministries, I wanted to personally thank you for your continued support of New Life for Youth. Your prayers and your gifts are so important during this uncertain time. But please know that we appreciate you and are praying for your ministry, and God is still in control. And we thank God as for Sister Rosa Linda there in that ministry. Good work they're doing, and we thank God that we can partner with them. Today, as we go into the scripture here, Father, I just ask again, you would just continue to speak, moved by your Spirit. This is your truth. It is your word. May we receive it that way. May it go forth and bear much fruit in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to thank all of you who pray. Thank you for those who prayed just in the service earlier, those who are praying even before and now. The Bible says in Luke chapter 21, Jesus is speaking as the disciples ask him questions about what it would be like at the end of the age before he returns. And Jesus answers them in Luke 21:8. Jesus said, "Take heed that no one deceive you, for many will come in my name, saying, I am he, and the time is drawn near, therefore do not go after them. But when you hear of wars and rumors or wars and commotions," and please notice these words, "do not be terrified." Do not be terrified. That's the word of the Lord to us today as well. I don't know if you're home with someone or not, or wherever you may be. If you're next to someone or near somebody, would you just encourage them with that? Just tell them, do not be terrified. Do not be terrified. This is the Lord's word to us. He says, "For these things must come to pass first, but the end will not come immediately." And he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there will be great earthquakes in various places, and famines and pestilences." This pandemic is a pestilence. That's what we're seeing in all over the world right now. It says there will be fearful sights and great signs from heaven. I want to pause right there. I'll read a few more verses in just a moment. This COVID crisis has affected, I think I saw yesterday, over 2.25 million people around the world. Of course, many have died. I personally know people who are infected with this COVID. I reached out to one of them yesterday just to check and let them know I was praying. It's a husband and wife. The husband is still in the hospital, but they're both progressing and coming along, and I thank God for that. But we're facing, man, you know, of course, my wife is out of work right now. Hey, honey, if you're watching, she went to visit Britt. So many have been affected. Many have lost jobs. Many have lost income. And I'm sure even if it hasn't affected you in that way at all, we're all just looking forward to getting back to some normalcy in our lives. And I think as we think about that, I've been thinking even over the weeks, because when this first happened, my prayer was, Lord, intervene and stop this disease and stop this sickness and plague. And over time, my prayer has, I still want that, but my prayer has broadened to say, Lord, accomplish your will through this. Because God can take what is meant for evil and somehow turn it that good comes out of it. And I would hate the thoughts, and I don't even think it's going to happen. I believe good will come through this, and good is going to come out of it. And so I began to just ask myself, what good could come out of this pandemic? And that's the thought I like to focus on in this time that we have together right now. What good could come out of not only this pandemic, but what good could come out of any bad situation? Because after COVID is maybe come and gone, we just live in a world that has been broken and marred by sin. And this earth is not how God, or this world is not how God originally created it. It's important to know that, because we don't want to blame God for everything we see in this life. This is not how God created it. We're suffering the brokenness of sin. And Jesus said, because of sin, events like these will continue on until the time that he returns and he establishes God's reign and God's will on this planet as he originally designed. So that's why he goes on in verse 25 of that same chapter, Luke 21. He says, there will be signs in the sun and in the moon, stars in the earth, distress of nations with perplexity. People don't know what's going on. The sea and waves roaring, men's hearts failing them from fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth. And we've seen this, for the powers of heaven will be shaken. There has been a great shaking. But then they will see, thank God, the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. So this morning, as we focus on, I hope we come up with many things that would be good God could bring out of this situation, but I want to focus on two, and I don't want to just say it like, well, it could happen. I want to say it as a positive declaration that it's going to happen and declare them as steps of action that we can take today. And the first one is simply, get closer to God. Get closer to God. Jesus says here, do not be terrified. Some of you maybe can remember an occasion where you were a little child and maybe there was a situation, or you've seen it if you didn't have that experience, where maybe there's, you know, a little child's with the mom or dad or some trusting adult, and some situation comes up, or maybe even a stranger, and the stranger may mean no harm, but they come up to him, and you'll see the kid just kind of get nearer to their parent, or they'll turn, and they'll hug their parent. And the only way, my brother, my sister, I know to walk in victory, because from the initial moment of sin, fear has been an ever-present enemy. As soon as Adam and Eve sinned and God's presence came into the garden, he said, Adam, where are you? And Adam said, I was afraid and I hid myself. When these things happen, whatever it may be, let's not run from God. Let's turn to God and get closer to God. The only way I know to walk in victory over fear is to get closer to the one who knows no fear. Now, as followers of Jesus, we feel fear, we sense fear, we face fear, but we do not have to be conquered and dominated by fear, because the greater one is within us, and we can get closer to him. Get closer to God. I was reading a testimony, it just came in this week. Many of you know the Christian artist Lauren Daigle. I didn't know this about her, but when she was 15, she was diagnosed with a particular disease, and I'm not even going to try to pronounce this. I'm going to let the doctor look after we're done. You tell me what it is. I know it ends with the word virus or whatever that is, but she had a condition when she was 15 that kept her in quarantine in her home for 2 years. So think about a 15-year-old, and you can't even go out for 2 years, man. I wouldn't like it at any age. You're a 15-year-old. And her mom, of course, didn't want her to slip into depression, so her mom paid for her to have voice lessons. And I guess you could say the rest is history, but Lawrence Daigle's testimony is, from that space, out of those 2 years, those songs came out that she now sings. And this is kind of her word of advice: what you think might overcome you is actually just the place you're supposed to launch from. I thought, that's a great testimony. That's the way to overcome evil with good. So get closer to the Lord. And I want to just say this first. To get closer to God, the first step is you got to be born again. You got to be a part of God's family and realize that sin has separated all of us from God. He is holy and sinless, and we've all sinned. And though our sin would keep us from God, God reached down into our, he didn't sin, but he reached down into our darkness and sin, and he clothed himself with human flesh, and we know him as Jesus. And he lived a perfect, sinless life and willingly laid his life down on the cross. Jesus suffered and died in our place to take our punishment for us. So the wages of our sin has been paid. The ransom has been paid in full, and we can be forgiven and free, but God does not force himself in anyone's life. He says, if you invite me, I'll come. I'm knocking, I'm calling, but it's up to us. If you believe, and God's Spirit is even drawing you right now to believe in your heart, not just your mind, but in your heart, and receive Jesus as the Lord of your life, you can be forgiven of all sin and dwelt by God's Holy Spirit and begin a new life and live with him forever. It's a great future promised for those of us who know the Lord. So, to draw closer to God. And I just want to, I hope I encourage, I don't want to come across harsh on this, but let's not say we're Christian, but live like God doesn't exist. What I mean by that is, some people call it practical atheism. So I just, I believe in God, and I might even know the Lord. I'm not questioning someone's salvation, but I am saying, if we know him, let's live like we know him, and let's have a daily walk in relationship with our Heavenly Father. Let's not just, something bad happens, and I just fall into a panic. Yeah, I might sense the fear, but I'm not just given to worry and panic and, just everything coming against me like I don't even know God. When those things happen, turn to God. Brothers and sisters, build your faith in God with his inspired word. Don't just kind of look at it. Receive it and confess it. What we speak is important. Speak God's truth out of your mouth. Declare God's truth and declare the truth of God. That's how we build our faith in him. Pour out your heart to him in prayer. And then not just pouring out our worries and our fears and all of our challenges, failures, temptations, everything, but then worship him. The Bible says magnify him with thanksgiving. And, I know for my own experience, I've worried and called it prayer. It didn't build my faith. It didn't bring God's peace into my heart and mind. But when we begin to praise God, and when we begin to count our blessings and give him thanks, and we begin to magnify the Lord over the circumstance and the situation and the trial and the problem, and we make God greater, there's something that happens, and his presence comes and fills us with his peace over our mind and over our heart. And keep doing it until you cast out that spirit of fear. Get closer to God. And then it's so important to build relationships with godly, I'm talking about people who sharpen you spiritually. And I know we can't physically all get together right now, but I keep in touch. Most of us have phones. You can reach out and touch someone, so to speak, by phone if you have to. Text, use whatever means you can, but let's stay connected somehow to people who encourage us, and we're just not on the receiving end, but we encourage them too, and we bless and inspire one another. It's how iron sharpens iron, and I thank God for those I've built relationship with. Now I can call, I can text, I can see, we can pray, and I need that fellowship. And I want to just say, if maybe you say, well, Brother Rocky, I don't have anyone. All right, that may be the case for now. But what will you do different when the time comes that you can build those relationships again? I want to encourage you. Build godly relationships with godly people, whether it's in a local church family. Certainly, that's a great place to start. But make those connections. God doesn't want us to live like we're lone rangers. We need each other. So I want to encourage you, get closer to God. If you're there in Luke chapter 21, would you turn to Luke 13? Luke chapter 13. The Bible says this. This is Jesus speaking, because he speaks of two specific tragedies. One where people were killed, and one where people were killed first of all, they were basically executed, and then others who died from a tower collapse. And the Bible says this in Luke chapter 13, verse 1. It says, there were present at that season some who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answered and said to them, do you suppose that these Galileans were worse sinners than all other Galileans because they suffered such things? I know we can make bad choices and we can suffer the consequences. But please, let's not condemn people who are suffering a tragedy. Let's not kick people when they're down. You may remember Job's friends. He went through that tremendous loss and all that trying season. And three close friends showed up. The Bible says they came as comforters, but they stayed as tormentors. And they were saying, after 7 days, they finally just got on him. And Job, you must have some sin in your life. There must be something going on between you and God. If you just get it right, your problems would go away. I'm very careful about what I quote out of the book of Job, because when God shows up on the scene, he says, you three didn't speak the truth about me. And I don't want to speak something they said and act like it's a portrayal of God, because it may not be. And so here Jesus said, do you think they were sinners because they were killed? And this is what he says in verse 3. I tell you, no, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Repentance is a change of mind. It's like an inner change of heart that leads to a willingness of a change of action. So whenever something like this happens, we can have a change of mind and get closer to God. We don't have to point fingers and bash people. He goes on in verse 4, it says, or those 18 on whom the Tower of Siloam fell and killed them, do you think they were worse sinners than all other men who dwell in Jerusalem? I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Repentance and faith are how we come into the family of God and we begin our walk. But repentance and faith are a way of life for all of us who know the Lord too, because none of us have arrived. And when we see an area in our life that isn't like Jesus and God wants me to make it right, that's repentance and faith. It's not just, I'm sorry I did something wrong, sorry I'm suffering the consequences. No, repentance is, yes, I'm sorry, but my heart is willing to look to the Lord. And then faith says, Lord, I need your help and I receive your grace right now. Yes, I've fallen, Lord, I'm sorry, but I'm thankful you didn't give up on me. You haven't cast me out. Here I am. I'm in need of your grace, and I receive right now. And we just keep walking with the Lord and stay close to him. Don't let the devil condemn you and push you away. Run to your Father and stay close to him. He's not against you. He is for you. And when we're tempted to judge someone else, again, let's just be careful. The only reason any of us are still not lost in sin is because of God's grace and mercy to us. So thank God. Get closer to God. So when we see these things, when we hear these things, when we feel it, get closer to God. Let's pray. Pray for those who are hurting, and then let's just keep growing in Christ. So get closer to God. And then one more I want to focus on, and that is simply this. Be the church. What good can come out of this? We're going to get closer to God. And we're going to be the church. We're not just going to church. We are the church. And I know right now, though we are restricted from gatherings, and I want to again say for the record, I've said it over the last couple of weeks, we are commanded in Scripture to gather together physically. But right now, this is temporary. But for the time being, even though we are restricted from gathering together physically, God still calls us to be the church. So we can't all go to church, but everyone who knows the Father can be the church. Ephesians chapter 4. Let me read a few verses here. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. And the scripture says this, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you, I'm pleading with you, to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. If you know God is your Father, Jesus is your Lord, you have a call on your life. And he's encouraging us. He's saying, my son, my daughter, walk worthy of my call on your life. Then he says this in verse 11. that Jesus himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Why? And he tells us what the purpose of these gifts are. He says he gave them for the equipping of the saints. The word equipping there means to be prepared and to be trained. So he says for the equipping, the training, the preparing of the saints. Why? For the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. Every believer is to grow in Christ and serve in Christ's body. Now, one of the reasons why we do gather together is so that we can be equipped for ministry, so that we can be trained. We can be, oh, I've been hurt all this week. I got to get back to the house of God and with my brothers and sisters and receive ministry. And I need to give ministry so that I'm mended and put back together so that I can go back out and be a representative of Jesus, to be the church. And I love this scripture. In fact, I want to, well, let me go ahead and read it. Verses 15 and 16. Verses 15 and 16, Ephesians 4, he says, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him. Not just one area of my life, growing in Christ-likeness throughout our life. It's a walk, it's a journey, it's a relationship. We follow Jesus. It's not just going to church, it's following Jesus. But because we are the church, it's how we live. He says, then he goes on and he says, in verse, again, in 15 there, he says, in all things, who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies. See, we all have a part here in the body of Christ. According to the effective working, it's effective working, he says, in which every part does its share. If every part isn't doing its share, the body of Christ will not be as effective as it could be. So he says, this is how we cause growth of the body for the edifying or the building up of itself in love. Basically, no one knows what I'm going to share on Sunday mornings other than the man back there, Clarence, keeping everybody up. I'm going to turn the camera on him one day and I'll let him wave. He said no. But thank you for what you do, but I'll email him, you know, send him the scripture references and notes for the message. But I was checking the church email yesterday morning, and I received this email from a brother in the church. So I wanted to share a part of it with you because I emailed him back and said, may I share this tomorrow? He was like, of course. And he says, this is something that he wrote. He says, as believers, I know many of us are struggling with isolation, loneliness, and not being able to gather together with others in the church building or part of life in general. I, too, am struggling with this. This brother's a very outgoing person, and he likes being around people. He goes on and he says that in Scripture he lists Matthew chapter 16, where he says, Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. And he says, Christ did not build a church building on a rock, but he was saying on this foundation, he will expand his church through the believers that it may go throughout the entire world. We are that church. We are the believers, and though we cannot come together in a building, we each have our own ministry right where we are. We each have a duty to lead others to Christ, and now more than ever, we need his love and mercy. He says we need him to provide peace, to ease anxiety and fear. And he says, like all things, this too will come to pass, and what have we learned from it? Then he wraps up by simply saying, love one another, minister to one another, and pray for one another. We will get through this. I thought, well, that was interesting timing for the message this morning. Get closer to God and be the church. I want to close one more scripture reference there in Ephesians chapter 3. It's a prayer. But I want to say this before I read that. Brothers and sisters, this is our time. This is our time to be the church. We can't do anything about a previous generation. We can't do a whole lot about a future generation other than do our part right now to invest in a way that helps them. This is our time to be the church. We are the ones who are indwelt by the Spirit of the living God. We are the salt of the earth. We are the light of the world. We are the light of the Messiah, the anointed one, into a world of darkness. And this is our time to shine brightly. This is our time to make a difference. We are ambassadors for Christ. That means we represent Him. So we represent Him everywhere we are, everywhere we go. We represent Him in our homes. We represent Him. We can be the church on the job site. We can be the church in the classroom. We can be the church in the marketplace, in the gym, or wherever it is, the gas station, wherever we may be, in every area of life, we are the church of the living God. And He has a call on our lives, and He wants to use us. About four, I don't know if it was, I didn't mark the day down, but I really sensed an uneasiness in my spirit when I first started hearing about some of this. And it wasn't over like the shortage of those things. Certainly, I want to be wise and prepared, but I sensed something in my heart. I want to just share it real quick with you now. I just sensed that as we were going through this, that there was something even yet to come. And the phrase that came up in my heart was a dry run, that this is like a dry run to see not only our response, but to see what the world will do and even greater government control over people's lives are seeking to, and even maybe an increased persecution over believers. Now, I don't know what the future holds, but I know the one who holds the future. And I want to emphasize this. It doesn't matter what happens. Now, I care, but it doesn't really matter. It does not matter. If that stuff comes, fine. If it doesn't, thank God. But please know this. God orchestrates and God overrules to accomplish His ultimate purpose and will. No human and no institution will overthrow the ultimate plan and purpose of God. His kingdom will come. His will be done. It's just a matter of time. And if we are going to be on the blessing and receiving side. Be the church. I really believe that Jesus is moving right now by His Spirit. He is purifying His church. He said He's coming, as chapter 5 says, He's coming back for a church that's without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. A glorious church. So He's cleansing and purifying us, helping us to grow more like Him. He's building His church. And brothers and sisters, we get to be a part. Get closer to God and be the church. Ephesians 3, verse 19. This prayer is that He wants us to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that we may be filled with all the fullness of God. He wants us to know just the unspeakable love of the Lord for us that goes beyond knowledge. It's not something we can even intellectually grasp, that He would love us so much. And He wants us to receive His undeserved, His life-changing love and grace. And we just have to believe Him. Verse 20, now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly, above all that we can ask or think. Notice this, please. According to the power that works where? It works in us. The exceeding greatness of His power is at work on the inside of us. So to Him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Today as we, if you want to go ahead and just start, we can just play softly. We'll close in prayer in just a moment. But I want to extend this invitation. Jesus loves you and He gave Himself for you. I want to ask you to make a choice today. Will you give yourself wholeheartedly to the one who loved you and gave Himself for you? No strings attached, no trying to make a deal, just saying, Lord, I need Your love, I need Your life-changing grace, I need You. And I'm asking, would you just give yourself to Him completely today? I want to encourage you, God can take what is meant for evil and turn it for good. Let's get closer to God. Let's be the church. Now, just again, very personal. Let me just speak to your heart right now. Get closer to God. You can be as close to the Lord as you want to be. The promise is, draw near to Me and I will draw near to you, God says. So let's draw near to Him. Let's believe Him and let's get closer to Him. But I don't want to ask you specifically, what is one thing you can start doing today? Let's not put it off. What is one area? Maybe just getting more into a time of just worship, thanksgiving, prayer, maybe receiving God's word, or I'm not sure what that is for each one, but whatever it is, God's Spirit can lead you right now. Would you just open your heart? And then whatever He leads, would you respond to Him and get closer to your Heavenly Father? Don't you want to be close to Him? Brothers and sisters, closeness starts with a decision. We can decide. I want to ask you right now, choose, decide that you're going to take a step right now today to get closer to your Heavenly Father. And then be the church. And whatever may have happened in the past, you know, people may look at our lives. I don't know what they would see of your love and commitment to the body of Christ, but it's a new day. If you said, man, I haven't really been doing my part, okay, now make a change. What will you do now? Just receive and then just walk with the Lord, not just going to church, be the church. We go to church to help us be better equipped to follow Him. So I want to pray for you, and then we're going to sing this little chorus. It says, I'm coming back to the heart of worship. Lord, I'm sorry for making it all about everything else, because it's really all about You. Father, I pray right now for those who are even, You're speaking to them right now. I pray that You would move on hearts. I pray that You would change lives. I pray for someone to be saved. Who will it be, Lord? Who will it be to just give themselves to You? Lord, each of us can have a closer walk. Draw us, Lord. Draw us closer. Oh, Lord, let the times of shaking only lead us to get closer to the One who is unshaken. Let us not take, as our brothers prayed, a time to gather again. Let us not take it for granted. Help us to be the church, the victorious, bright, shining church of the living God. Lord, have Your way. Minister to each heart for Your own glory and purpose and honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's sing this first verse.